This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops clashed with rioters carrying pictures of Saddam Hussein in a Baghdad suburb on Friday, and heavy smoke billowed from the mayor's office in a city west of the capital following a big explosion. In northern Iraq, American troops sealed off the village where Saddam was born and began issuing identity cards to the villagers to determine who can move in and out. There were conflicting claims about what triggered the clash. Iraqis said it broke out when U.S. troops tried to clear market stalls from a main road, but a U.S. officer said it began with a grenade attack against American soldiers that left two of them wounded. Two CIA operatives were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan while hunting for terrorists, the agency said Tuesday. The deaths were the latest indication that the largely secret war in Afghanistan is far from over. Heavy fighting continued Tuesday as at least 22 Taliban guerrillas were killed in a U.S.-led air attack in the southeastern Paktika province. The deaths highlight the dangers faced by small patrols of U.S. forces in the mountainous region of Afghanistan near the borders of Pakistan. Villagers in this region are often loyal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and can tip off enemy fighters about U.S. patrols. The first helicopter pilot to see the flames that would become the catastrophic Cedar Fire radioed for aerial water drops, but said state firefighters rejected his request because it came minutes after such flights had been grounded for the night. Pilot Dave Weldon told the Associated Press he called for help because his dispatcher had relayed reports of smoke in the area, but got no response. He said he then called for backup, including a second helicopter with a 120-gallon water dump bucket. The second helicopter flew within 5 miles of the fire before state officials told it to turn back. The Cedar Fire eventually became the largest wildfire in California history. More IE America Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A man riding a Metro North train in New York dropped his cell phone in a toilet and got his arm stuck trying to retrieve it Thursday, forcing the train to stop and delaying the evening commute for thousands of people. The Bronx man was stuck with his arm in the toilet for 90 minutes, causing passenger evacuation, and thousands of commuters were delayed because the train sat blocking the platform as the rescue work continued. So far, the cell phone has not yet been recovered. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day on the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's Halloween, and we have some interesting thoughts on this for you. Has democracy fallen victim to the Bush delay, as in Tom delay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre well underway? Some interesting thoughts on that one here.
The film which you are about to see is an account of a tragedy which befell democracy in 2003. For them, an idyllic session in the Texas legislature became a nightmare.
This hotel in Oklahoma should keep us safe from the hammer Tom DeLay.
But what about democracy, you fool? Don't you see that as long as we stay away from the Hammer's minions, democracy is safe?
But what if he uses the Department of Homeland Security?
The Hammer may be crazy, but he's not insane.
Who is it?
Pizza.
The events of that session were one of the most bizarre crimes in American history.
I don't get it! What's going on here? Redistricting only happens after the census. Not when one party takes over the government.
Oh my God.
Only a few decades ago, Democrats were in charge of the Texas legislature. What happened? They're gone. Oh, God.
Pull yourself together. As long as we're in this hotel in New Mexico, we're safe from the Hammer.
But John Whitmore has disappeared.
Have you seen him?
No, have you?
Maybe the Hammer's got him. Don't be ridiculous. Maybe that's him.
The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, The Hammer Curse of Texas, playing now.
Yes, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Consider some of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Texas-based corporation Halliburton, for example, and this is remarkable. In today's Associated Press, and what I thought was interesting was I found this in the Montpelier Times-Argus, our local newspaper, but it wasn't in the large statewide newspaper, the Burlington Free Press, which is owned by Gannett and tends to be a little more, shall we say, right-wing. But this is a story by Larry Margask of the Associated Press. Report, Iraq contractors politically active. Companies awarded $8 billion. Can you imagine if you owned a business? You start your own company, and you know, gee, I remember, you know, starting companies, and you get a couple thousand dollars, you know, you get a customer, $100,000, a huge money. I mean, it's like just mind-boggling for small business people. $8 billion, that's $8,000 million in contracts to rebuild Iraq and Afghanistan have been major campaign donors to guess who? President Bush and Dick Cheney. And their executives have had important political and military connections, according to a study released Thursday. The study of more than 70 U.S. companies and individual contractors turned up more than $500,000 in donations to the Bush-Cheney 2000 campaign, more than they gave politically to any other politician over the past dozen years. The center, study that was done by the Center for Public Integrity, the center concluded that most of the 10 largest contracts went to companies that employed former high-ranking government officials or executives, like Dick Cheney, with close ties. They didn't say that I did. With close ties to members of Congress and even the agencies awarding their contracts. And then they have bullet-pointed some of the items from the center's analysis. The top 10 contractors contributed $11 million to national political parties, candidates, and political action committees since 1990. 14 of the companies won contracts in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Those companies combined have given more than $23 million in political contributions since 1990. Most contractors, their political action committees, and their employees have contributed just under $49 million to national political campaigns and parties since that year. In that same time period, contractor donations to Republican Party committees outpaced contributions to the Democrats, $12.7 million to $7.1 million. Amazing, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre on the move. Here's another one, the Irvine, Texas corporation ExxonMobil. This is from today's Wall Street Journal. ExxonMobil Corporation's earnings 38% higher during the third quarter. The entire economy has spiked, as I'm sure you've heard. The Republicans are running around waving it in the air. I want to get into that in some detail in our third hour today. It's an interesting story. You know, what is really going on with the economy? How is it happening? What's the future of it going to be? But anyhow, ExxonMobil Corporation's earnings 38% higher during the third quarter. Those steeper-than-expected production declines alarmed analysts. Higher oil prices and a surge in gasoline prices that fattened profits in Exxon... Well, that's interesting. A surge, this is the Wall Street Journal, a surge in gasoline prices that fattened profits in ExxonMobil's refining business. In other words, friends, they're not just passing along those oil price hikes. They're creating them. They're inflating them. Higher oil prices and a surge in gasoline prices that fattened profits in ExxonMobil's refining business boosted revenue 11%. To $59.84 billion for this last quarter, up from $54.10 billion in the previous quarter. Net profit in the Irvine, Texas company's oil and gas production business rose 19% to $2.7 billion. $2.7 billion left over. The net profit, after all expenses and taxes and everything else. And then they talk about this issue that isn't being discussed very much out there in the media. But this, if you want to know why we really went to war with Iraq, when there were no terrorists in Iraq, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11, all things that have been admitted to by George Bush and Condi Rice and Colin Powell and Rumsfeld. Dick Cheney's the only one who still seems to be in denial. If you want to know why we really went to Iraq, it's about peak oil. It's about the fact that when an oil well reaches the 50% production level, half of the oil has been pumped out of it, that when it reaches that point, it starts getting real expensive to produce that oil, because you've got to start injecting things down in there to create the pressure to pump it, or you got to suck it up in particular ways that are quite expensive. And instead of costing $1 or $2 or $3 to bring a barrel of oil to the surface and ship it out, it can cost $10, $12, $15, $20 a barrel. In fact, when you get down to where a well is three-quarters dry, it can cost $30 or $40 a barrel. And the same with natural gas. As natural gas, as the wells or the cavities that contain it diminish, the pressure diminishes and the production diminishes. And we hit what's called the Hubbert peak, the halfway point, the point beyond which it starts becoming almost logarithmically, exponentially more expensive to produce oil and gas. We hit that in the United States back in the 1970s. And the planet, the world, is hitting it right now. Sometime between 2002 and 2005, there's, you know, different scientists have different figures, and you never know exactly what, but it looks like, certainly absolutely no later than 2005, and possibly as early as last year, the world hit the Hubbert peak, which means that there's no going back to those times of easy oil. The only way that you can get easy oil and cheap oil is to seize a country that has relatively virgin wells. And here, Iraq has pumped so little of their oil out. Now, Saudi Arabia has pumped, they're approaching their own Hubbert peak in Saudi Arabia. It's costing as much as $15 a barrel now to produce Saudi oil. They still have some fields that are around $7, $8 a barrel, but they've got fields that are starting to be depleted. In Iraq, you don't even have to pump the oil. It bubbles out of the ground on its own. It's a buck and a half a gallon. It is the cheapest high-quality crude oil available on Earth, on the planet, is in the country of Iraq. Anyhow, this Wall Street Journal article goes on, back to what's going on in Texas. New projects that have recently begun pumping oil in Africa offset declines in the United States and Europe. See, that's because the United States and Europe have both passed the Hubbert peak. To increase oil production 1.3% to 2.49 million barrels a day from the year earlier period. This is about ExxonMobil. But natural gas declines to 8.27 billion cubic feet a day, more than 10% less than production a year ago, surprised analysts. And natural gas, this could be a huge gotcha. This could be a crisis for the United States, all because Jimmy Carter saw this coming. I mean, you know, the scientists have been talking about this since the 50s. M. King Hubbert, the guy who they named Hubbert Peak after, first came up with this idea in the 1950s and predicted a Hubbert Peak for the United States in 1974. He was 4 years off. He died in the 70s. And Colin Campbell carried on his work, and this is stuff oil scientists all know. I wrote a book that has a good chunk of this in it if you really want to dig into it. It's called The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight being oil and gas and coal. And when Jimmy Carter saw this coming and he said, okay, we've got to start conserving our fossil fuel resources and going to alternative forms of energy production. And he started offering incentives to companies to do that, to produce energy from something other than hydrocarbons, from something other than fossil fuels. I mean, if you go down to the gas, the next time you fill your tank in your car, I'm not suggesting you do this, but if you were to, because gasoline is toxic, but if you were to put a drop of gasoline on your hand and look at it, you can imagine doing that. You're looking at a fossil. It's like a dinosaur bone, except it's older than dinosaurs. The dinosaurs died out 90 million years ago. They appeared about 140 million years ago. Oil was produced between 300 and 400 million years ago. You put a drop of gasoline in your hand, you're looking at a fossil that is four times older than the dinosaurs. They ain't making no more of it. And Jimmy Carter said, we've got to wean ourselves off this stuff because there's a limited supply. And Ronald Reagan's first official act of office, being brought into power by the oil companies, just as this administration was to remove the solar collectors from the roof of the White House and to roll back the tax incentives that Carter had put in place to create a solar energy industry in the United States. It's a disaster coming. I'll finish with this story after the break. Actually, after this break, I'm going to have a... You're gonna love this right after the break, and we'll get into this right after the bottom of the hour. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network, The Truth Zone. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel relief fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and health. Healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. It's Halloween. And you're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. And now...
And now, for your listening pleasure,
IE America presents The Nightmare on Pennsylvania Avenue. The White House was alive with the sound of the season. Spine-chilling screeches, bone-rattling booms, blood-curdling screams. And this was just the president's economic advisors reading the latest jobless figures. The president and his first lady's annual Halloween party is in full swing when Rush Limbaugh slips in quietly into the room. He's back from rehab, tan, rested, and ready. But he's still a tad nervous about discussing the experience. Rush pauses in the doorway and lets his eyes adjust to the dim lighting and pushes his thick black framed glasses back onto the bridge of his nose. He's not sure of what's the worst part of his costume, the glasses or the fuzzy wig rubbing against his scalp. He takes in the scene.
I had no idea that the White House had an orange room, he says.
I know.
Garish,
replies a voice in the darkness. It's Martha Stewart, who had been lingering by the door all evening in hopes of buttonholing John Ashcroft.
Absolutely garish.
She refers to the room, not Rush Limbaugh's Al Franken costume, but Rush sighs deeply nevertheless.
Aww.
He instantly regrets not sticking with his original idea, coming as a giant papier-mâché Walgreens pharmacy. The more self-deprecating humor, the better. Just then, Ann Coulter, the tart-tongued columnist, loops across the room, shouting,
oh, look, it's Rush.
She's dragging fellow pundit Robert Novak in her arms.
Wow.
She wanted to come as the outed CIA agent Valerie Plame, and Novak seemed like the perfect accessory to her trench coat.
I'm a spook.
Anne yells.
Get it?
Rush searches the room for someone to rescue him.
Man.
But the only person he sees is Pat Robinson, and Rush simply isn't in the mood to listen to him explain why he recently suggested on the 700 Club that the U.S. might be better off if the State Department were new.
Oh.
Rush returns his attention to Coulter, then remembers with horror what she once said.
My only regret with Timothy McVeigh is he didn't go to the New York Times building.
Good Lord.
Rush's skin is crawling. He tries to flee, but finds his path quickly blocked by another man.
Why? Is that you, Al Franken?
No, wait. It's someone else wearing the same fake glasses and itchy wig.
What say you, Al?
The man shouts as he jabs his finger in Rush's chest.
What say you?
Rush turns but finds his escape blocked by a green, head-bobbing Pat Robinson. The chaos deepens as Arnold Schwarzenegger, dressed as the Governator, steps onto an antique table.
Hoover administration.
And pounces on both Al Frankens.
You are mine now. You belong to me.
Arnold wrestles him to the floor and puts them both in headlocks. Ann Coulter sneaks in two swift kicks and then vanished, then slips into the gathering crowd. The two Owls are lying eyeball to eyeball, with Arnold above them scowling.
You lack discipline.
Is that you, Rush?
Bill Riley asks sheepishly.
None other,
Rush replies. Carl Rove elbows his way into the crowd in a nod to his nickname. He's dressed as the president's brain.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Fair and Balanced and Mr. Talent on loan from God.
The blob of gray matter announces brightly. The crowd cheers as Rove leans over to whisper in Arnold's ear to let go of his query.
Yeah.
Riley raises and offers Rush his hand, but Rush rejects it.
Bill?
Rush says firmly.
You're a big fat idiot.
The crowd gasps. Coulter sticks her head through the crowd, hisses, and retreats. Suddenly, a voice rises through the din.
Is there a problem here?
The crowd quickly clears a path. President Bush steps forward, casts a confused glance at Rove, then focuses a stern gaze at the two Owls.
I said, is there a problem here?
Rush and O'Reilly adjust their glasses and wigs.
No, sir!
O'Reilly says meekly.
Actually, there is,
Rush says, his baritone echoing through the White House. Bush cocks his head to listen. Rush confidently eyes his audience and begins to enunciate his words slowly in the condescending manner he reserves for his political foes.
Mr. President,
Rush says,
I've discovered I'm a liberal.
The crowd shrieks. A high, lonesome howl pierces the ear.
Dick Cheney in a secure, undisclosed location.
The president shakes his head slowly, solemnly.
Rush, my boy, I think maybe you took this detox thing a little bit too far.
The end.
Oil made life easier for Americans during the past century, but it could be a growing source of trouble over the next. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Richard Heinberg says the world is fast approaching the day when there won't be any more oil in the ground, but he says that's a taboo subject for our elected leaders.
No politician wants to be identified with the message that we have to conserve and cut back and change our lifestyle. In fact, Vice President Cheney even said it right up front. He said, the American way of life is non-negotiable. If that's true, then what are we going to do to maintain the American way of life?
Heinberg is the author of a new book called The Party's Over. He says the United States already imports 60% of the oil it uses, and that number is steadily climbing as our energy needs rise and our own oil production continues to fall.
Eventually, that puts us in competition, and probably military competition, with most of the other major consuming countries, including not only Europe, but also China. And it's hard to see any kind of end to that process that's something we would want for our children or grandchildren.
Heinberg says we need to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in alternative energy research and development, but he says there's nothing to compare to the concentrated power found in oil deposits, not solar, not wind, not hydrogen.
We've become accustomed to having this incredibly cheap, abundant, reliable energy. That's what we're not going to have around. If we plan properly and make the investments, we will have energy sources, but we're going to have to use them in a much more parsimonious and careful and conservative way.
Heinberg says being conservative with energy would be a good thing, but he says it's going to mean some major changes in the American way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. The skit you just heard, Nightmare on Pennsylvania Avenue, was written by Daryl Leitz. He's an editorial writer at the Herald Tribune, and we thank Daryl for permission to use that. It was produced at IE America Radio Network's studios by John Lucas. A brilliant bit of production work there. John, thank you for that. And the skit that we used in the first segment of the show, when we first started the program, was written and produced by Joe McPherson, one of the producers of this program. And that was brilliant as well. So some great talent and some funny stuff here today, and I want to thank you all very much for that. And has democracy fallen victim, at least American democracy, fallen victim to the George Bush, Tom DeLay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre? Let me just wrap up this ExxonMobil story, and then I get some more that gets into this exact same stuff. We started out talking about how the Irvine, Texas company, ExxonMobil, the profits are up because the gas prices are up, and they're taking their piece of that. But then there was this startling bit of news revealed in the Wall Street Journal today that although they're pumping more oil, because they've been doing all this exploring and cutting these deals in Africa. You've noticed, by the way, that we've been intervening in Africa a little more aggressively. Because U.S. and European oil production has slipped, because we're on the other side of this Hubbard peak, they said, but natural gas declines to 8.27 billion cubic feet a day, more than 10% less than production a year ago, surprised analysts. ExxonMobil spokesman Pat Mulva said the declines in its mature oil fields were in line with the company's expectations, but analysts said the rate will force them to reevaluate how quickly ExxonMobil's gas fields are being depleted. A J.P. Morgan analyst, Mr. Wheeler, says, quote, people are underestimating the decline in the mature assets, end quote. In other words, we're going to run out of gas, a whole lot, natural gas, a whole lot faster than people think or are prepared for. And this is not just a small issue. I mean, this is driving Bush's oil wars. And it is corrupting our politics domestically. But it is also, I mean, this is the thing. I mean, the two great crises of the next decade or two decades are going to be access to clean water and access to hydrocarbons, to fossil fuels. And both of them are reaching crisis proportions right now. And in the United States, even, and all around the world. And very, very quickly, we are seeing the world just splitting out into the haves and the have-nots in terms of water and fossil fuels. So a few other things about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or, you know, have the body snatchers taken over our nation in the spirit of Halloween here. The Memo, an article in Salon.com, I believe it was, yesterday, about an insider at Fox News decides to spill the beans. And I thought this was fascinating. It's by Jim Romanesco. And he says, I believe it's by him. It looks this way. He says, Fox News is controlled by The Memo. There's this thing called The Memo. Capital M, Memo. And a former producer at Fox News has revealed how the opinions of management, that is Roger Ailes, the former Reagan political operative who was handed a pile of cash by Rupert Murdoch to create Fox News, affects what comes out of the newsroom. The toadies at Fox are so eager to please management that they have even attempted to strange things up, you know, for example, when a judge ruled that Under God and the Pledge of Allegiance was unconstitutional, the newsroom chief, you know, all gung-ho here on The Memo, was planning to display the judge's address and phone number on the air. Management actually pulled it just at the last minute. That same newsroom chief ordered the removal of a graphic quoting Hans Blix, saying that his team had not yet found weapons of mass destruction. That one got on the air before this guy could do anything. But the memo is an executive memo. It's distributed electronically every morning to the folks at Fox News from within Fox News. It's like Roger Ailes talking to the troops. And it's the talking point for the day. And you'll see this just echoed right across Fox News. And of course, many of the right-wing talk shows are picking this stuff up. And you get this echo chamber effect. And the memo suggests what stories should be covered during the day. And perhaps most important, and this is something that no other news organization would ever imagine doing. Because news is supposed to be, okay, here's the news. But the memo suggests not only what stories should be covered, but how they should be covered. In other words, the giant full spin zone that is Fox News is the spin of the day is defined by the memo. This was started in early 2001, been going for a couple of years now, and it started when George Bush took power, and it was designed to make sure that, according to this insider, that the Fox News message was on message with the White House message. It's really quite remarkable how well crafted this news management stuff is. For example, from a memo on March 20th, quote, There is something utterly incomprehensible about Kofi Annan's remarks in which he allows that his thoughts are, quote, with the Iraqi people, end quote. One could ask where those thoughts were during the 23 years Saddam Hussein was brutalizing those same Iraqis. Food for thought, end quote. In other words, here's the spin. Let's attack the Secretary General of the United Nations. And here's how to attack him. The memo warned soon after the Iraq war started that anti-war protesters would be, quote, whining about U.S. bombs killing Iraqi civilians and suggested that they should tell that to the families of American soldiers dying there. Dying there because George Bush lied to us. Subsequently, an eager young producer killed a correspondence report on the day's fighting simply because it included a brief shot of children in an Iraqi hospital. I mean, this is the level of news management. So, back to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or the invasion of the body snatchers, considered Zell Miller. Zell Miller, this guy who calls himself a Democrat. This is why... This is why, on this program, I warn you about the conservative agenda and not the Republican agenda. The Republicans as a party have sold out to big business. It's obvious to everybody, even to the Republicans, they're proud of it. They are the party of the big corporations. I mean, it's just quite simple. And it's been that way since the 1880s, by the way. I have an article up on commondreams.org, went up a couple, three, four days ago, called Republicans Take Your Party Back. You might find interesting about this stuff. But anyhow, the Republican Party basically is the party of corporate interests. And but the agenda, the ideological agenda that has seized control of much of America and that seeks to seize absolute control of America is not the Republican agenda, it is the conservative agenda, and this is the danger that you must know about. Because the conservative agenda is no less than a return to feudalism, to aristocracy. A return to the day when there were the feudal lords, the individual elements of private wealth and power, who had so much wealth and power that they were able to control government itself. You know, Howard Dean yesterday said, a friend of mine forwarded this to me. He said, Howard Dean must have read your book. Two different people I know have given Howard Dean copies of Unequal Protection. And I gave him a copy, actually, way back when he was still governor of Vermont, and he sent me a letter thanking me for it. But I didn't figure he'd ever actually read it. But now here, Governor Dean today attacked a House plan to provide new tax breaks to corporations. I told you about this yesterday. There are all these new, the new tax break program is for corporations. And so I'll quote to you from Howard Dean. And I quote, I continue to fear that we are rapidly reaching the day, as James Madison and Thomas Jefferson warned, where economic power would one day try to seize political power. And see, that's the danger. That's what I have been talking about from day one on this program. That economic power has no business seizing political power. In a democracy, political power is supposed to be we the people, not they the multinational corporations who have the most expensive lobbyists and give the largest campaign contributions to the Bush campaign. Howard Dean goes on to say, once again, Washington is putting large corporate interests who write the big checks and in turn get to write the legislation ahead of the small businesses and working Americans who continue to bear a greater share of the tax burden in this country. Dean continues, among the tax breaks in the bill, according to Monday's Washington Post, are $652 million for a few shipping companies, $161 million for owners of oil pipelines, and $8.2 billion for large multinational corporations. The bill establishes a preferential 32% tax rate for selected types of corporations. It would also reduce the tax rate from 35% to 5.25% on certain earnings of multinational corporations that have hidden their earnings offshore, According to Bear Stearns, Standard & Poor 500 companies, S&P 500 companies, have some $400 billion of these unrepatriated foreign earnings overseas. In other words, they're gonna bring back $400 billion in profits now and only pay 5.25% instead of the standard corporate tax rate of 35%. Wouldn't it be nice if you only had to pay 5.25% taxes on your income? Well, that's what the huge multinationals are gonna be allowed to do. Howard Dean continues, this latest scheme will put working Americans at least another $60 billion in the hole at a time when we are already facing $5 trillion in deficits over the next 10 years. Recent reports indicate corporations that used to bear 30 to 40% of the tax burden in this country now only pay 8% of the total, end quote. So, Zell Miller, the invasion of the body snatchers, he calls himself a Democrat. There are conservatives among the Democrats. You got to get it. I mean, this is not like all Democrats are liberals and all Republicans are conservatives. There are a few Republicans who are actually relatively moderate and liberal in some of their positions. And there are a few Democrats who are conservative. And Zell Miller is one of the most toxic of them. And, you know, he's written this book. And now he's come out, a national party no more, the conscience of a conservative Democrat. The guy is just sold out. I think he figures it's the only way he can retain power. It's the only way he can get these big corporate contributions. And this is the corrupting influence. I mean, this is what is tearing apart American democracy, is this corporate cash, all this money. It's just the political system is awash in money. And Zell Miller sucking up to the aristocrats, aspiring to be one himself. Or is it the invasion of the body snatchers? Perhaps. We have a few other examples here. The ghost of McCarthy. There was an arsonist who set a family's house on fire because it had an anti-war sign. The sign was originally in the front yard. The house would get pelted with eggs. The family moved the sign to a post on the front porch. They detailed the number of deaths in Iraq since hostilities began. And one night, the parents smelled smoke as they evacuated their children and an African refugee who was living with them. The refugee's father, by the way, had died from torture in prison in Africa. They discovered that the fire had started right where the sign was. It's the ghost of McCarthy. This is the ghost of something worse than McCarthy. This is the ghost of the KKK. And this goes beyond Halloween pranks. I mean, this is seriously bizarre and sick stuff. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937, and we have Armin in Florida and Phil in Florida. Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Tom?
Hey, Armin, what's on your mind?
I wanted to tell you about something that I read on rents.com, R-E-N-S-E.com.
Yep.
And it's beyond alarming, in my opinion. We'll see what you think. And the heading says, Bush orders oil companies protected from investigation, a license to loot. And it's by Richard Kellen. And it's
I reported on that about a month ago here. That's old news, Armand. Bush is pushing this whole thing. It's still, actually, it hasn't been voted on. In fact, I've got the story here in my stack of news stuff. I could dig it out.
Well,
and basically what Bush wants is that anything that has to do with oil production anywhere in the world will cause any aspect of the company's operation that has to do with that oil to be immune from lawsuits. So if they are drilling oil in Iraq, if they're pumping oil out in Iraq, ExxonMobil, for example, and that oil gets converted to petrochemicals in Louisiana, and that plant is polluting the water and killing people in Louisiana, they're immune from prosecution because the oil came from Iraq.
Well, it's beyond that.
Absolutely bizarre.
Tom?
Yeah.
I don't think this is something that they're going to be allowed to vote on. This is an executive order. Are you with me here? It's 13. It's 13303, and he already signed it according to this article in May. And they did a web search on it, and apart from alternative media, such as the Los Angeles Independent Media Center, by and large, mainstream U.S. media choose not to take on the issue, with rare exceptions, the international media likewise. And basically... Yeah. This is an executive order. He can bypass Congress with this. This is allowed.
I know
to go forward.
And we reported on that back in May when it first came out. And what's happening now is that you've got Democrats in Congress who are trying to roll it back, And well, I'll dig out the story, and we'll bring it up in the third hour because we've got a guest in our second hour. We're going to have Ben Cohen on here. But it's a good one, Armin. You've found a hot button there. This is a real issue. In fact, I'll be sure and dig it out and talk about it because that's something that deserves more of the light of day. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I appreciate it, and thank you very much for the call there, Armin. This is Tom Armin on the IE America Radio Network, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
A real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
We have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telfar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine. Okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him.
Isn't he just a man's man?
Huh? Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back, Junk Radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, and we've got two calls here. We've got about 3 minutes here left in the hour. Phil in Florida's on the line. Phil, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
Yeah, Tom, I just want to build on what you were saying regarding Zell Miller. He's doing what Susan Estrich has done, former now president Tammy Bruce. It's marketing. They figure the best way to market themselves are the people that have the money.
Sure.
Susan Estrich couldn't get much attention until she started slamming Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton and other liberals.
Miller's doing the same thing.
Right?
Yeah.
And then she gets FaceTime on Fox News and other things. Tammy Bruce was a talk show host, a liberal talk show host on KFI in Los Angeles. Her ratings were bad. She finally got fired. She reinvented herself as a conservative, wrote books that appealed to conservative, made herself wealthy.
Yeah.
Miller is doing exactly the same thing. It's all a function of marketing yourself and selling yourself in a different way to people that have the bucks.
I absolutely agree, Phil, and I thank you for pointing that out, and I appreciate your call. This is I think the pendulum is swinging back the other way. I think what a lot of these people are going to realize pretty soon is that Americans are starting to get tired of this conservative shtick, and they're starting to see through the fact that it's really just a front for huge multinational corporations. They're going to say, no, thank you. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, Kevin in Tampa is on the line. Kevin, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Kevin? No, Kevin.
So what I wanted to mention very briefly, did you happen to see Washington Journal and C-SPAN this morning?
No, I didn't.
Okay. You familiar with Ed Schultz?
Yes, I am. The talk show on TV. Yeah.
Right. Well, he was a guest on there today, and it seems that some Democratic senators are putting
up money for him to go
on the radio.
Excuse me, Kevin. Yeah. Who was the guest on the Washington Journal?
Ed Schultz.
Oh, okay.
A liberal talk show host from North Dakota, I think it was.
Right, the guy that the Democrats are going to roll out.
Dorgan was leading it in order to get him on the air nationally.
Yeah.
And it seems that he's going through Clear Channel, which is probably going to put him on stations with Rush and these other people, and will be sandwiched like Hightower was before.
Well, we'll see. He might have success. I think he will. I think the pendulum is swinging back the other way. Kevin, thanks for the call. We're out of time for this hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the true people's radio.
The most ads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling the
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops clashed with rioters carrying pictures of Saddam Hussein in a Baghdad suburb on Friday, and heavy smoke billowed from the mayor's office in a city west of the capital following a big explosion. In northern Iraq, American troops sealed off the village where Saddam was born and began issuing identity cards to the villagers to determine who can move in and out. There were conflicting claims about what triggered the clash. Iraqis said it broke out when U.S. troops tried to clear market stalls from a main road, but a U.S. officer said it began with a grenade attack against American soldiers that left two of them wounded. An internal report that harshly criticized the Justice Department's diversity efforts was edited so heavily when it was posted on the department's website 2 weeks ago that half of its 186 pages, including the summary, were blacked out. The deleted passages, electronically recovered by the website thememoryhole.org, portrayed the department's record on diversity as seriously flawed, specifically the hiring, promotion, and retention of minority lawyers. The unedited report found that minority employees at the department, which is responsible for enforcing the country's civil rights laws, perceive their own workplace as biased and unfair. A Justice Department spokesman said he could not discuss deleted passages. Two CIA operatives were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan while hunting for terrorists, the agency said Tuesday. The deaths were the latest indication that the largely secret war in Afghanistan is far from over. Heavy fighting continued Tuesday as at least 22 Taliban guerrillas were killed in a U.S.-led air attack in the southeastern Paktika province. The deaths highlight the dangers faced by small patrols of U.S. forces in the mountainous region of Afghanistan near the borders of Pakistan. Villagers in this region are often loyal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and can tip off enemy fighters about U.S. patrols. More IE America Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
Just in time for Halloween, a vampire killing kit, complete with a wooden stake and 10 silver bullets, sold for $12,000 at a Sotheby's auction Thursday. The kit, a walnut box that also contained a crucifix, pistol, rosary, and vessels for garlic powder and various serums, was bought by an anonymous phone bidder. The vampire killing kit was part of a Sotheby's sale of 19th century furniture and decorative works of art. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Happy Halloween.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
Another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
If we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our quote for the day from Eleanor Roosevelt. You gain strength, courage, and confidence, she said, by each experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You are able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes along. You must do the thing you think you cannot do. Eleanor Roosevelt. Words of wisdom for our day, our quote for the day. And it's also so many progressives, so many liberals, progressives, Democrat, the whole spectrum, people who are members of the radical middle are looking at the situation in the world, and particularly at the situation in the United States, and feeling despair. And it's like, what can we do? I mean, you know, it's the corporations have taken over. It's the new aristocracy. It's the new kingdom. It's the new feudalism. And I think Eleanor Roosevelt is just spot on. You just have to face these things and you know, step by step, spread the word, wake people up. We're doing that work on this program. That work is being done by other people on other radio talk shows around the country, other alternative media, the internet. It's just broad and widespread. It's 8 minutes after the hour. You're listening to Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast. And we are very pleased this hour to have as a guest Ben Cohen. Ben Cohen and Jerry Greenfield founded Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream in a renovated gas station in 1978. He's also the founder of True Majority, a grassroots education and advocacy project of Priorities, Inc., and he's currently running the Pants on Fire campaign. If you'd like to call or have questions for Ben, 1-800-TALK-YES is the number, 1-800-825-5937. And Ben, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, thanks a lot, Tom. Happy to be here with you.
Hey, Ben, it's a real honor. I have watched your career for many years, admired tremendously the work that you've been doing. And it's just great. How do you see the role of business in regard to the common good?
How do I see the
Can you, Ben, can you speak up a little bit? We got you maxed out here on the board, but you're coming through really faint.
How's this?
It's still really faint.
You know, I'm on a cell phone. I can call in on a payphone if you want.
Yeah, why don't we try doing that? Let me give you our toll free number. Okay, Steph's gonna put you on hold. She'll give you that. I'll go back to talking about the news. We'll get you back on in the next few minutes because I really do want to have this conversation with you. But I don't think anybody will be able to hear you with the volume level that low. So back to this from the New Scientist. This was a truly startling. Well, actually, you know, Armin from Florida before the break called and was talking about the liability issue. The limits of liability. Executive Order 13303 of George Bush. And then there's another one here. The chemical and petroleum industry manufacturers of the gas additive MTBE have supported powerful Republicans for a provision in a federal energy bill offering relief from potential liability over polluted water supplies. Now get this. MTBE is a chemical that damages people. I mean, it's a toxin. They added to gasoline to oxygenate the gasoline. This is one of the chemicals that was put in when they started taking the lead out. It makes gas, it increases octane. Octane, you know, it's a fancy way of saying it makes the gas explode more efficiently. It's like injecting oxygen into the gasoline and, you know, or carries, chemically carries a little oxygen in there so that the gasoline burns more rapidly. But MTBE is like the mutant. I mean, I guess this is appropriate for Halloween. It's this mutant stuff. And because it can filter little tiny quantities of it, get out of the gasoline. You know, gasoline contaminates groundwater, and little tiny bitty quantities of the MTBE will get into the water supply, and they'll concentrate in the food chain and just in the water itself. And there are entire communities in California now that can't drink their water because of MTBE. And so now, rather than asking the companies that make this stuff, who have known from the beginning of its dangers, rather than asking them to pay to clean it up, and rather than using ethanol, which also oxygenates gasoline, increases its octane, they're talking about, let's simply give these companies immunity. The provision would give makers of MTBE immunity. This is from the San Francisco Gate, San Francisco Chronicle newspaper, sfgate.com. The provision would give makers of MTBE immunity from growing legal claims that the gasoline additive fouled water supplies across the country. Current cleanup costs have been estimated at $29 billion. Among the backers of the provision is House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, the exterminator. From Texas, Tom DeLay, the former bug killer, he's not unafraid of chemicals, yes. Maybe he takes MTBE the way other people drink red wine or something. But in California, MTBE has been found in 97 drinking water sources, double the 48 detected as recently as 2 years ago. Internal documents unsealed in court cases show that the oil companies knew about possible groundwater contamination problems as early as 1981. What is that, 22 years ago? Yet continue to promote the product. A broad coalition, they say, of San Francisco Chronicle, of 14 state attorneys general, including California's Bill Lockyer, the U.S. Conference of Mayors and Cities, the Association of Metropolitan Water Agencies, and the American Waterworks Association are lobbying against the provision. Vic Scher, a San Francisco attorney who represents South Lake Tahoe, Santa Monica, New Hampshire, and other jurisdictions affected by MTBE pollution, called the provision, quote, an effort to immunize the companies that are responsible for the problem from the costs of dealing with it and to shift those costs to, guess who? You and me, to the drinking public. This is just mind-boggling. This is part of the energy bill here, and this just setting aside the Clean Air Act and allowing MTB back in. Ben, I understand you're back on the line with us.
Yeah, I'm back, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, and now we can hear you. I am so pleased to have you here. See, so you were talking about your thoughts about the role of business with regard to the common good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what occurred to Jerry and myself was that, you know, you find that there are so many businesses that are engaged in practices that are harmful to the common good. And early in the days of Ben and Jerry's, we decided to see if it was possible that maybe business was not really inherently bad, but that it's actually a tool, kind of like a hammer, and that you can use it to either create and improve the common good or destroy. And incredibly enough, what we discovered, you know, over the 20 years of Ben and Jerry's is that it is very possible to have a profitable business that works to improve the quality of life for people at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, it's and in fact, that was one of the major conceptions of our founders. A mutual friend of ours gave you a copy of a book I wrote called Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Power and the Theft of Human Rights. And in that, I talk about how up until the chartermongering era in the United States in the 1880s and 1890s, when Rockefeller started playing states against each other, up until that time, every state had a requirement in their corporate laws that said that the first purpose for incorporation of every corporation must be to serve the public good, and the second purpose must be to do whatever they do, you know, to make ice cream or to make railroads or whatever. And that every year the attorneys general of each state were required to examine the behavior of every corporation in the state, and if the corporations failed to serve the public good, they received the corporate death sentence. And up until the Civil War, there were fewer than 2,500 corporations in the United States, and all of them, at least in theory, the vast majority of them actually in behavior, were serving the public good. I mean, this is there's a long tradition for this. I'm so glad to see you bringing this back, you know, this ethos. Even though we've lost it in our law, we need to bring it back in our philosophy.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think now that people see that it's possible, more and more, they're starting to demand more corporate accountability. I mean, yeah. People are starting to tell corporations that, no, it's not okay if our clothing is made at sweatshops. And they're starting to tell them, no, it's not okay if our food is produced in a way that that destroys the environment and puts so many unhealthy chemicals into it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's absolutely not. You're involved with True Majority. Tell us about True Majority. How did this come about?
Well, it's interesting. You know, after Ben & Jerry's was sold, you know, I tried to prevent it from becoming sold, but it was a public company and I wasn't able to. I decided to continue to work for the same principles of social change, progressive social change, that I was doing at Ben & Jerry's, but do it outside of Ben & Jerry's. So we formed True Majority, which essentially monitors Congress on issues of social justice and environmental sustainability. And when your voice counts, you get an email alert, and then just by clicking reply, it generates a fax to your congressperson in your name. So it's kind of amazing that now with the internet and email, it is possible for people to be monitoring Congress on all the different things they care about, essentially by using True Majority as their agent. And then they find out about what's going on, and they're able to make their voice heard at the moment that it counts. And it's free. It's truemajority.org, and anybody can join. Just register on the web.
Right. And do it now.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we've only been around for a little over a year. We've already got around 325,000 members, and it is our spinoff organization, True Majority Action, that is sponsoring the Pants on Fire mobile, which is debuting tonight in the Greenwich Village Halloween parade.
Yeah, I want to get into that in some detail. We have a commercial break coming up here in about 30 seconds, so we'll do that right after that. But you're also involved in the Hot Fudge Venture Capital Group, aren't you?
That's correct. And we started up a company called SweatX, which is a clothing company in Los Angeles that cuts and sews clothing in a sweatshop-free union, actually cooperatively owned plant.
Yeah, we did a whole hour program on that, actually, about a month ago.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I got a lot of calls and a lot of interest, and I've used that example. In fact, the example of how, you saw that the labor cost in a T-shirt was 10 cents to 25 cents, it was 10 cents and it went up to you remember the math anyway. If we add an extra quarter, is it going to raise the price of their retail? And it worked out so well. Anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Ben Cohen, 1-800-TALK-YES. If you have a question for Ben, we'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Indeed, hold on tight to the dream of democracy again in America, defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Greetings, by the way, to our most recent affiliate, KGOE in Eureka, California. And hello to all those folks out there listening in now on that station. We're talking this hour with Ben Cohen, founder of Ben & Jerry's Ice Cream and True Majority. And Ben, we touched on SweatX, and my recollection of the exact numbers, there was my recollection was that you had discovered that it cost about a dime's worth of labor and a $10 T-shirt, and if you made it in essentially, you know, fair wage conditions, it was maybe a quarter's worth of labor, and it didn't increase the price that much. And you guys started this thing in California, and it's like working. But I'm sure I'm mangling it because it was a month and a half ago or so we did the show on it, and I don't have my notes right in front of me. You want to recap it for us?
Yeah, well, actually, it's about 50 cents extra on a 10 or 15 dollar T-shirt. And, yeah, the company is turning them out, and it's a union shop, and, you know, the union's really happy with it, and they make great T-shirts.
Yeah. We're seeing this Walmartification of America and this myth that's being spread by the conservatives that labor cost, if we were to go back to a rational middle class, a reasonable solid middle class like we had during the golden era of the middle class in the United States from the mid 1940s up through the late 1970s up until Reagan started dismantling, you know, he declared war on labor. That would somehow increase the prices at Walmart so much people couldn't afford things, and people, you know, they fail to realize that there would be more discretionary income. People would have. They could. Anyway, I'm going off on a rant here, and I want to hear yours.
I think what happened was that, you know, in the early days when automation was first coming around, you know, they were talking about how this was going to create so much leisure time, and that the work week was going to go down to 4 days. And what happened was that there was a tremendous amount of cost savings because of automation. And what the corporations have done is that they've taken the profits for the upper-level executives and the investors as opposed to distributing it amongst the workers.
Right. Yeah, and if we were to just go, I mean, there was a time, I remember a time, I mean, I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and I remember a time in this country when the, you know, the civil service, I think it's 1 to 15 or 1 to 20 is the maximum differential in pay between somebody at the top of the civil service and at the bottom between a private and a general.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, in most universities, it's 1 to 20, as I recall now, and it used to be 1 to 15. I think it's in that neighborhood. And when, you know, CEOs made $300,000-$400,000 a year, and that was considered incredible pay. And
exactly.
Now we see. Go ahead.
And that, now I think it's about 1 to 400. And,
yeah.
You know, I saw a study that showed that worker motivation and productivity kind of dropped as the spread between worker and CEO pay increased.
Sure. Well, because people feel like they're no longer part of a family or even an organization, they are serfs in a feudal, you know, as a property of the feudal lord. You know, this new aristocracy that has emerged. Ben, we've got a commercial break coming up here in just a second. After that, we'll have a good solid 17 minutes we can talk about this. And I really want to get into the pants on fire thing that you guys are doing. Just the manual, just reading this manual online at pantsonfire.net/manual.pdf is a hoot. It is priceless entertainment. And I want to share some of this with our listeners and let you give you an opportunity to tell us about, you know, what's going on with this. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Ben Cohen. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
And now it's time for Rats, Tales, and Suspense!
So I went to the grocery store, and I went to get some milk. Da-da-da-da. So anyway, I got there, and the store clerk looked at me, and he said, "Whoa, hi there, Brack, are you here to get some milk?" Da-da-da-da-da. And I said, "Well, what if I am? Dee, 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 dee." And he said, "Well, I was just asking, you know, because you forgot last time, remember?" Dun, 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 dun. And I said, "Oh, thanks. Oh, yeah." So I went through the aisles. Dun, dun, dun. Pass the bread. Dun, 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 dun. Pass the cold cuts. Dun, 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 dun. Pass the cookies. Dun, 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 dun. Pass the ketchup. Dun, 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 dun. Pass the frozen dinners. Finish. One of them, by the way, looked really good. It had 3 mini hamburgers and some corn. And get this, tater tots and chocolate pudding. All the 4 major food groups. Da-da-da-da-da-da. 2 hours later, I came to the dairy case and I got some milk. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I brought it home. And my mom said, "Oh, Brack, you remember the milk?" And I said, "Yup." And then all of a sudden she said, "Brack, did you look at this? The expiration date says tomorrow." So I had to drink a whole gallon of milk in one day and go back and get some more. So, you gotta watch those expiration dates there, Buster.
Hello, Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Zone with Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking with Ben Cohen this hour. Ben, tell us about your George Bush statue.
The Bushmobile. Well, yeah. It's a 12-foot high statue. It's a 12-foot high statue of George Bush with his pants on fire, and it gets towed around the country. And tonight it's in Greenwich Village at the Halloween parade.
That's great. We're and George is not the only attraction. The car is pretty cool too. You know, this Lincoln.
Well, it's a Crown Victoria, and we got the official flag holders that go on each one of the four fenders. So it's got these four fluttering American flags, and then you got the pantsonfire.net banners, and then George is. Lit up. There's three faces of George on his two sides and on the front. He's in a flight suit. He's got the electroluminescent wire outlining his body. And then out the back is these artificial flames that are these four of these blowers with, kind of silk fabric waving in the blow and then shining orange lights on it. And it really looks like fire. At night, and then we've got some audio. We've got two audio things. One is some songs. One is by Black Eyed Peas, "Where's the Love?" Which is a great popular song talking about the current situation. A little Marvin Gaye, "What's Going On?" And then we just put on another audio clip that has clips of his actual lies of George speaking his lies along with a guy. Talking about what the real truth is. And then that's the back, great. There's the sign that says, "Don't get burned again."
That is great. That is brilliant. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in California has a call, is on the line, has a question for Ben Cohen. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program, Mark.
Thank you very much. I feel honored to even speak with both of you. You guys are doing a great job. I have a question. I'm up in Eureka in Humboldt County, California, and there's an incredible small company for the last 6 years that's been up here making a vegetarian beef jerky product, believe it or not. And I know that sounds like an oxymoron, but it's so good that it's people even think it's real beef jerky, and it's even better. It's made out of soy and wheat gluten and no preservatives, and it's healthy for it and all these things. And I've talked with the owner before, and her big problem is because she's so small, even though it's by far the best vegetarian beef jerky out there, she's so small, and she has a normal job as a waitress. In addition, she doesn't have a way to ever make it bigger. So in 6 years, it still basically has the same amount of stores. She got a co-packer for a while, and then it collapsed. They no longer could do it because they had problems of their own, and I guess they went bankrupt. And she can't find another co-packer. She's looking for someone to license it. She feels like she's going to get ripped off. It's just the shark infested waters out there in the business world. And what could she possibly do? I mean, does your organization help, Ben, this hot fudge venture capitalist organization?
Well, it sounds like a great product. I would personally like to sample some, and of course, we would be honored to be carrying around some samples on the in the actual Bushmobile. And, we could do some advertising. We could say, the Bushmobile drivers are powered by vegetarian beef jerky. What's the brand name?
It's named Vegan Dream and vegandream.com.
It doesn't exactly have a real ring to it. I think Kucinich, of course, is a vegan. But and you know who else is a vegan is Russell Simmons. Now, he's hip. And he just came out with his own sports drink, DEFCON 3. There might be a connection there. I mean, the problem is you got to get it to be hip, and vegan, vegan ain't hip. But we have another fund called the Bard Rock Fund that's run by a guy named Chuck Lacey, which is another social venture capital fund, and... we kind of specialize in food products, and that would be a worthwhile contact to make.
How would you contact them? What's the website or the?
It's Chuck Lacey. I think if the caller gets in touch with me at Ben and Jerry's, the number would be 1-802-846-1500. I can get him in touch with Chuck, who runs that fund.
Ah, great. Thanks. And can we send you some samples then?
Definitely send me samples.
Send me
lots of samples. I like jerky, and I don't like beef.
All right. Well, do you have to check it out? It's amazing. So where will we send it to?
Make the same call, same number, and we'll set you up.
Excellent. Great. Thanks so much.
Thanks for the call, Mark. Thanks for the call. And more broadly speaking, Ben, what other than going to venture capital funds with their hands out, what you've started a business from scratch. What's your best advice for people who are thinking of trying to create socially responsible companies?
Well, I think the key is to do it, to start at some level, whatever size level you can afford to start at, and don't plan on getting any venture capital, and just do something on a real homebrew level yourself, and if it's a good product, it'll start to spread, and if you can make it successful in a very small geographic area, even if you live in a town that's if it's a food product, say, and you live in a town that's only got 10 food stores. I mean, if you can get 75% of those stores to carry it, and if they can demonstrate that the product that you've got sells as well as other products that are on the shelf, then you've got a track record that you can bring to, the next town nearby. And that's how Ben and Jerry started, and that's how we grew. And, I think the key is that at the beginning, you've got to distribute the product yourself. You've got to sell it yourself. You can't count on some distributor or some other business to sell the product for you, because it's that initial what they call missionary work. That no one's going to be willing to do. No one's going to be willing to put the effort into except yourself.
Yeah, grow it from the bottom up. You one of the things that I thought you did brilliantly, and I don't recall where it was, but I saw a little video clip of it. It must have been, may have been as much as a year ago, using Oreo cookies to demonstrate the federal discretionary budget.
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, we just did an animated version of that with my voice, and we have this great cartoonist who animated me doing it, and it's up on the web, and if it's not on the True Majority website right now, it'll be up there in the next few days, and essentially what I say is that, I'm dealing with the issue of the federal discretionary budget, about $600 or $700 billion. And it's a really complex problem. I'm a dessert guy. When I'm faced with a really complex problem, I think about dessert. And for this one, the best dessert to think about that I've discovered is Oreo cookies. And so I end up building this bar chart with Oreo cookies where each Oreo cookie equals $10 billion. 10 billion with a B. And, I start off with the Pentagon budget. That's got a stack of 40 Oreo cookies, $400 billion. And I show that just by taking 5 cookies off the top of that stack, we would have enough money to provide Head Start for every kid who needs it, to feed every child in the entire world that is dying of starvation, to rebuild our schools over a period of 10 years, and to provide health care for every kid in America who doesn't have it, and then some. And it's a very graphical demonstration, and, some people will say, well, you take 5 cookies off that stack, then we'll be vulnerable to our enemies. And then I show, how much money the Axis of Evil spends, and it's like one Oreo. So
And all of our allies are spending maybe... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just saying it's pretty dramatic when you see the difference in that stack of 35 Oreos versus one.
Right. Yeah, and I think that all of our European allies together, the NATO forces, the defense budget is...
Well, they double it. They spend about another $200-250 billion.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's still half of what we're spending, more or less. Just slightly more than half. So it's that's all of those countries. In your Pants on Fire mobile driver's manual, You have a thing that says, hecklers might challenge you. It's fascinating that people who share our values don't accost those who don't. Progressives never shout obscenities at pickup trucks with conservative bumper stickers, but right-wingers, less comfortable with opposing points of view and maybe more aggressive, feel free to shout their disapproval. Do you think there's an inherent aggressiveness on the right? I mean, even when a university study came out that suggested that right-wingers have aggressive tendencies, they got aggressive against the researchers.
That's interesting. Well, I tell you, it's been an education for me driving the Pants on Fire mobile around as we've been, you know, shaking it down in Burlington, Vermont, and in Boston. That, you know, I mean, you know, 75-80% or more of the people who see it are really into it, and well, probably higher than that, 90%. But, you know, then there's a few guys who come up to you and, they're angry, and it is different. There's no doubt in my mind that. Are they more aggressive? I think they are, or at least a portion of them are.
Can people volunteer to be drivers for George?
I think that they can definitely volunteer to be drivers, but I think, you know, I was looking at an analysis saying that there's two different world views, and one is the strict father, and, you know, more conservative people tend to be from that world view. And the other is, you know, more the nurturing mother.
More the nurturing father, yeah.
You know, so people that have this strict father mentality, that the father is supposed to be strict, the father is supposed to be disciplinarian, the father is supposed to be not questioned. You know, that's kind of an aggressive, an aggressive view.
Yeah, it is. And it was promoted aggressively in the 1920s and 1930s in Germany, as you know, the child care manuals and whatnot, and you see what it's that it would be oversimplistic to blame anything on that, but it's clearly a way of child rearing that ends up with dysfunction. You know, there's a fine line between nasty and whimsy when it comes to political satire, and you clearly prefer whimsy.
Absolutely.
What do the surefires say? Say what?
Yeah, you know, that whimsy, you know, brings a smile to your face. Whimsy, you know, has some humor to it. And, you know, that's engaging, and that brings people in. You know, whereas nasty is, you know, kind of mean, you know, kind of harsh, kind of hard. And I don't think that brings people in. So, you know, I mean, especially when you're, you know, if you're dealing with someone who doesn't share your point of view right off, if you can deal with the issue with some humor, it breaks the ice. It makes it easier for the person to, you know, to maybe be a little more open. But I think in terms of the burning bush, you know, the purpose of that is to help to brand George Bush as a liar. And you know, we call it Pants on Fire. We never use the words liar. We let people think that in their own head when they see it. And because I think what happens is that, you know, they say, you know, maybe around 40% of the population, you know, kind of agrees with Bush, or, you know, thinks he's a good guy, you know, thinks he's doing the right thing. And there's also, I think, about 40% of the population that gets their news pretty much solely from TV. And, you know, if you get your news from TV, essentially what you've got is the reporters covering the White House beat, and they stick a camera in front of George Bush, and he says whatever he says. And, you know, if you just listen to his words most of the time, you know, it sounds like he's trying to do the right thing. Leave no child behind, the Clear Skies Initiative, the Healthy Forests Initiative. I mean, it's just that, you know, I mean, he talks about not passing our problems on to other generations. I mean, all these things sound good. They just happen to be lies. So we're trying to get that message across.
How'd you come up with this thing? How did this get started? We have about a minute left here, Ben, in this.
That is a good question. How did the burning bush come into being? Well, you know, I think what happened was that during this period of time, before the Democrat, the Democratic guy is selected, the nominee, you know, Bush is polishing up his image, and we need, the best thing we can do during this period of time is to try to tarnish his image. And, right. And we found a funny way of doing it, you know, a whimsical way of doing it.
And who's the we?
The people at True Majority. I mean, it's interesting that it's our members that ended up, financing this. They came up with the contributions for it. And they're the guys that are volunteering to drive it around. So if you want to drive it, go on to pantsonfire.net, and you can register to drive the Burning Bushmobile.
That's great.
It's an experience to tell your grandchildren about.
Pantsonfire.net and truemajority.org. We've been talking today with Ben Cohen of True Majority and Pants on Fire, and formerly with Ben, well, still in some ways, with Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream. Ben, thank you very much for being on the program today.
Great talking to you. Take care.
Thank you, Ben. It'd be great having you here. This is Tom Harbin. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
So you've graduated from college, got a new job, a new place to live, even a new dog, but you're still paying the same old high-interest student loans. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE, anytime, 24/7. We're College Loan Corporation, and we're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. Get on with your new life and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
Yes, she is. Thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Banjila is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Banjila.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday. For Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
The Tom Harbin
I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on, when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working in middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed, where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Speaking from behind the good old working class stainless steel microphone high up in the green mountains of the People's Republic of Vermont, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Here, this, a scientist funded by the U.S. government deliberately, this is from The New Scientist, which is the major news, you know, popular news magazine in the United Kingdom. A scientist funded by the U.S. government has deliberately created an extremely deadly form of mousepox, a relative of the smallpox virus, through genetic engineering. The new virus kills all mice, even if they are given antiviral drugs or a vaccine that would normally protect them. The work has not stopped there. The cowpox virus, which infects a large range of humans, of animals, including humans, has been genetically altered in a similar way. The article goes on to say that Mark Bueller of the University of St. Louis says his work is necessary to explore what bioterrorists might do. But the research brings closer the prospects of pox viruses that cause only mild infections in humans being turned into diseases lethal even to people who have been vaccinated. NewScientist.com goes on to say some researchers think the latest research is risky and unnecessary. Bueller has constructed a cowpox virus. We're genetically engineering deadly viruses now, containing the mouse IL-4 gene, which is about to be tested on mice at the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases at Fort Detrick, Maryland. Can you imagine if every mouse in the world were to die? You'd say, well, great, no more mice. But what about all the animals that live on the mice? And what about the things that the mice... I mean, you know, mice are essential to the ecosystem, too. They burrow, they aerate the ground, they transport seeds around. There are plants that depend on mice. You can't just pull something out of... Anyway, despite the concerns, the New Scientist says, work on lethal new pox viruses seems likely to continue in the United States. When members of the audience in Geneva questioned the need for such experiments, an American voice in the back boomed out, 9/11. There were murmurs of agreement. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting.
Through a hole in the air, above those bats, Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops clashed with rioters carrying pictures of Saddam Hussein in a Baghdad suburb on Friday, and heavy smoke billowed from the mayor's office in a city west of the capital following a big explosion. In northern Iraq, American troops sealed off the village where Saddam was born and began issuing identity cards to the villagers to determine who can move in and out. There were conflicting claims about what triggered the clash. Iraqis said it broke out when U.S. troops tried to clear market stalls from a main road, but a U.S. officer said it began with a grenade attack against American soldiers that left two of them wounded. Two CIA operatives were killed in an ambush in Afghanistan while hunting for terrorists. Virtually secret war in Afghanistan is far from over. Heavy fighting continued Tuesday as at least 22 Taliban guerrillas were killed in a U.S.-led air attack in the southeastern Paktika province. The deaths highlight the dangers faced by small patrols of U.S. forces in the mountainous region of Afghanistan near the borders of Pakistan. Villagers in this region are often loyal to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda and can tip off enemy fighters about U.S. patrols. The first helicopter pilot to see the flames that would become the catastrophic Cedar Fire radioed for aerial water drops but said state firefighters rejected his request because it came minutes after such flights had been grounded for the night. Pilot Dave Weldon told the Associated Press he called for help because his dispatcher had relayed reports of smoke in the area but got no response. He said he then called for backup, including a second helicopter with a 120-gallon water dump bucket. The second helicopter flew within 5 miles of the fire before state officials told it to turn back. The Cedar Fire eventually became the largest wildfire in California history. More IE America Network news after this.
Hi, I'm Jim, and this is my calendar. And I'm setting aside Monday for something special.
And I'm Tina. I'll see your Monday and raise you a Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm Miguel, and I'm giving up a whole week.
When a lot of people give even a little time to the Red Cross, it adds up to quite a lot. A blood drive, a first aid class, a disaster relief team. When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. To find out how you can volunteer, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together we can save a life.
A man riding a Metro North train in New York dropped his cell phone in a toilet and got his arm stuck trying to retrieve it Thursday, forcing the train to stop and delaying the evening commute for thousands of people. The Bronx man was stuck with his arm in the toilet for 90 minutes, causing passenger evacuation, and thousands of commuters were delayed because the train sat blocking the platform as the rescue work continued. So far, the cell phone has not yet been recovered. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready.
not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
At a time when the very concept of the public good is being bashed and dashed by the downsizers and privatizers on Wall Street and in Washington, what a joy it is to get a bit of good news from Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Officials at the University of North Carolina have taken a stand to make a university education in this state more universal for the people, particularly for students from families of the working poor. In a first for public universities, UNC has announced that it will cover these students' full cost, including room and board, of attending the university, a total of about $13,000 a year for each student. In turn, the students will work on campus 10 to 12 hours a week. College should be possible for everyone who can make the grade, regardless of family income, says the UNC chancellor. Yet among too many of America's high school graduates who come from families of modest means, the perception is that college is for those who have the bucks to go and is beyond their own reach. Surveys show that the rapidly rising cost of attending college, up 200% in the last 20 years, and the fear of having to amass too much of a debt load on them and their families, is now preventing about half of our country's academically qualified low-income students from attending. Higher education has proven to be undeniably good, not merely for the individual, but also for the overall economy and for the common good. So UNC has made an important and bold decision not to abandon those who are being left out. The chancellor says simply that this policy is, quote, an expression of our values at this university. This is Jim Hightower saying, thank you, UNC. Such a policy also happens to be an expression of our nation's founding values of economic fairness, social justice, and equal opportunity for all. It's time for all other states to rise to the challenge of implementing those values, as UNC is striving to do.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
And radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded. This is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us. Armin brought up Executive Order 13303. There's a great article about it on the Earth Rights International website from back in July 28th. The real purpose of this Executive Order 13303 is to protect oil companies by giving virtual impunity for any activities undertaken relating to Iraqi oil. This order, which seems to swipe aside federal statutes, including the Alien Tort Claims Act, has received no public attention. Under this order, an oil company complicit in human rights violations or one that causes environmental damage would be immune from lawsuits. The language of the executive order is so broad that, it might as well have been written by lawyers for Halliburton, ExxonMobil, and Chevron Texaco. You know, I'll bet it was. We're discovering now that more and more of our legislation is actually being written by corporations and not by our lawmakers or by attorneys for corporations. By the way, Michael in Santa Fe, you had called with a question just before the break. And if you want to call back, I'd be glad to take it. I apologize. I didn't notice that on the screen there that you were there. And then Steph told me during the break, and then I spaced it. I just, you know, it's like... Some days things stick and some days things don't. Anyway, in 13303, President Bush declares a national emergency as the basis for protecting the development fund for Iraq. This thing is absolutely outrageous. And as Armin said, it deserves more of the light of day. We'll talk about it more in some detail. I just want to get into the best of the rest of the news in this hour, and if you've got things you want to call and talk about, that's great. It's Friday afternoon. We can talk about pretty much anything you would like. And happy Halloween, by the way, for those of you who celebrate it as a holiday, or for those of you who celebrate it as a party day. Burst of growth shakes up two worlds, economic and political. This is from the front page of today's Wall Street Journal. I got two emails last night from Ed Gillespie, the former Enron lobbyist and now chairman of the Republican National Committee, talking about how this last quarter saw this 7.2% explosion in growth, which it truly is, which is greater than any seen since the since 1984, since the third year of the Reagan administration. And what I think a lot of people miss is that it's the same thing. Reagan went on a credit card-based spending binge. He spent trillions of dollars that he didn't have. Just blew it out there. So, of course, you spend money into the economy. You spend it into the military, but it went to military contractors, and they hire people, and those people in their communities buy things, and it drives up demand, and on it goes. And, you know, you spend money like a drunken sailor on the credit card that your children are going to have to pay off, and sure enough, it's going to look like prosperity. And George Bush is doing the exact same thing. He has borrowed over $1 trillion from our children and grandchildren and dumped it into the economy in these huge increases in federal spending, particularly in defense. And surprise, surprise, you'll remember, those of you who are regular listeners to this program, that 6 months ago, I was predicting this. Anyhow, Michael's back on the line. Michael, thank you very much for calling back. My apologies for missing you on that call. Michael in Santa Fe, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Thanks for calling back. What's up?
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I was going to ask, I'm going to tell you about my Halloween costume, which applies to Executive Order 13303.
Okay.
Tawdry, completely decadent street hooker mask on. And I'm standing here at the street corner right now of St. Francis and Cerritos with a bunch of war protesters, and I'm getting a lot of response, and my question was referred to the last hour. I've gotten some hostility, too, from workers. Is that... that too much? I'm wondering if it's going too far, dressing up like a street hooker with a George Bush mask, or is that whimsy? I was contemplating that. You know, I don't know. Did I go too far? People are honking at me. Hey, what's up? People are honking at me now. I'm kind of got to talk to you, but I just kind of wondered what you thought of that one. I don't know.
I think that's a hoot, Michael. I congratulate you. To some extent, the threshold between whimsy and angry has to do with how you present it. I mean, you know, if you're out there saying, you know, George Bush is a whore for American corporations, but you're doing it in a friendly, funny way. I mean, you can do almost anything in a way that's friendly, funny, or that's angry. And I think Ben Cohen was absolutely right that anger tends to turn people off and push them away. I mean, there's always a small, hardcore group of people who love getting angry together. But over the long run, it's corrosive. Whereas whimsy and humor, I think, can really make it happen. So I would encourage you to smile and wave and put your hip out. And are you listening to us on a portable radio?
We are, yeah. We almost have a radio out here listening to your show while we do the protest out here.
That is so cool. Where are you located in Santa Fe? Where are you protesting?
It's Cerritos and St. Francis. Every Friday, protest at the intersection there. And we've been doing it ever since, when the whole thing died down. There's about, during the war, there's about five of us out there. It's a pretty liberal town. People honk in support. But sometimes we get this angry stuff. You wouldn't believe it. Like today, I was standing out here, and they're like, you know, I can't repeat over the what they said, but no, they say you're a bleeping whore. You know, you're a liberal whore. Stuff like that, and I was just like, you know, I yelled out the website number, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, click on, you know, clintondreams.org, you know. And you know, it's interesting, and but the people, my fellow workers, were shocked. Well, you know, some started asking, dressed up like a prostitute with a George Bush mask. Oh, well, let me tell you, and it really helped. But my supervisor was a little angry with me. We could dress for Halloween, but you can't make a political statement. He said he can do that and take a George Bush mask off, and what good does that do? But so, you know, it's interesting, but I'll let you go there.
Yeah, and when people honk and yell at you, you can just yell back, you know, liberals love you, or hey, I'm defending your freedoms, too, or, you know, it's got to be something friendly that you can say to people, you know.
Get angry back, because that's what the right-wingers do. And if you're moving on to their battlefield when you use when you start getting angry again, and I really like your perspective. I mean, I like Mike Malloy. He's a court jester, but, you know, I think that, you know, he's more entertainment, but I like more engagement with people. And
one of the best lessons I learned about that kind of thing, Michael, was way back. Oh, it must have been 9 or 10 years ago. I wrote 4 novels. I've written a bunch of novels. There's only one that's actually in print right now, but I've written, I think, I don't know, 9 or 10 novels. And there were 4 of them that were about a private detective. You know, I had visions of being the next Dashiell Hammett at one point. And a friend of mine who was a private detective in Atlanta, DeWitt Wanamaker, and was also a chief of police in Georgia at one time, DeWitt's probably 10 years my senior, I'd guess. And DeWitt had, this was the year that the Olympics were in Atlanta. And the Georgia Police Academy, in its 130-some-odd-year history, had never allowed a civilian to go through the training of the police academy. But they weren't going to have enough security guards to protect all the VIPs who were coming in from all over the world to Atlanta. And DeWitt, when I was doing the research for this private detective novel, DeWitt let me follow him around and play PI with him, and he actually, I got licensed as a private detective in the state of Georgia, and in fact kept that license for about 4 years just for the fun of it. And DeWitt called up one day and he said, hey, the Georgia Police Academy has just opened their doors to private detectives. So you can go through this executive training thing so that you can be security for the Olympics, you know, and it's basically a shortened version of the standard state police training. And so DeWitt and I went for, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks, to the Georgia Police Academy. I was a student in the Georgia Police Academy, went through the whole thing. And one of the training things that we did was there was this guy who used to be from the Secret Service. He walked with a limp and he had a cane, and he was a very kind of frail, fragile guy, I guess, in his 60s. Couldn't have weighed more than 90 pounds. And he had been injured. He had been shot, you know, years back. And he was teaching us hand-to-hand combat. And he was training us in Aikido. And I remember how astounded I was. And there's about 50 of us who were in this one group that was going through this one, you know, training thing at that one time. And he said, okay, I want somebody to come and try and knock me down. And he's just standing there with his cane, right? And this great big guy who's like a local sheriff in some little town in southern Georgia or something says, I'll take him on. And he goes charging after this guy. This guy must have weighed 280, you know, and been 6'3". And he goes running at him. And as he hits this wispy little guy from the Secret Service, you just kind of see his arm go like that. And the guy is just flipped over and on his back on the ground behind the guy from the Secret Service. And I mean, you could not touch this guy. Like 8 or 9 people came running at him one at a time, and every single one of them ended up flat on their backs. And it was a technique called Aikido. And he said, in Aikido, what you do is you take somebody's energy, and you just allow them to continue having that energy, only they discover that they are using it against themselves. I mean, they discover it after the fact, because what you do is you simply direct their own energy back into them. You basically, you know, just kind of move them by you. You don't resist their energy with the same kind of energy. You just move it along. And it was an interesting thing to learn just in terms of, you know, physical stuff. But it was also a fascinating psychological lesson. And he talked about that as a psychological lesson, about how, you know, when you confront somebody, of course, this was a training for police officers, you confront somebody who you've pulled over for a traffic violation and they're angry, and you don't respond to them with anger. You let the anger kind of flow by you. You imagine it just flowing by you, and you respond to them with something else. You take it and just let it go swinging on out, you know. And I think that that's a great lesson for those of us in the movement. Sorry about the long story, but maybe you can figure out a verbal Aikido for the conservatives who drive by you, Michael. Thanks for the call, Michael. I appreciate it. Tony in Waukegan, Illinois, is on the line. Hey, Tony, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I am great. How are you, Tony? We've only got about 20 seconds here. If it's quick, I can hold you over the break if you want. If not,
I'm sorry. I'm at school. I'm teaching today.
Oh, okay.
Question real fast. We had a guy yesterday on our local talk radio, and he was talking about how schools are doing all the wrong things, and why that's why we don't have enough money to operate. And he went to things like school lunch programs and how it's not the school's functions to pay for kids to have food to eat. My point was, you know, kids can't learn on an empty stomach.
Right.
And, you know, he's just telling me.
Tony, we've got about 5 seconds. You
okay,
got a question? You want to hang on?
That's it. I
got to
go.
Oh, okay. Tony, thank you very much for the call. I agree with you. It has to be a whole package, particularly for kids who can't afford to bring food. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
So you've graduated from college, got a new job, a new place to live, even a new dog, but you're still paying the same old high-interest student loans. Well, we can help. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE, anytime, 24/7. We're College Loan Corporation, and we're dedicated to helping you refinance your college loans with interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. Get on with your new life and call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your...
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate you died to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Back, helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We've got a few callers here on the line. Tony and Waukegan, I brought you in right up against that break. I'm sorry about that. It's the tyranny of the clock. But the point that you made about should we be feeding kids in our schools, the unfortunate reality is that as more and more people shift from being in the middle class into the working poor, where people very often literally have to make decisions between buying medicine or buying food, being able to pay the rent or being able to buy clothes, they can't afford to take their kids to, I mean, some real problems. There is a real need as this country is increasingly impoverished by the CEO takeover of America, for kids who are not from families of means to have a decent meal in school. For an astounding number of these kids. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but they're relatively easy to find. And it's in the millions. For an astounding number of kids, the meal that they get in school is very often the most nutritious meal that they will have during that day. Which, A, is one of the reasons why we need to throw these junk food purveyors out of our schools, get the corporations out of our schools, and go back to remember Marge in the cafeteria? serving the stuff. We need to go back to programs that are not driven by the profit motive and go back to real nutrition. And it's also why we need to be funding these programs and not just calling ketchup a vegetable. I mean, this whole thing started with Ronald Reagan. The whole war on the poor, the whole class warfare thing, war on working people. And they have just been relentless. And it is ripping apart the fabric of America. And it is such a tragedy. Elise in San Diego has called 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. Elise, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thank you. I just have to let you know how immensely I enjoy your show. It's always packed with thought-provoking information.
Well, thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yes, so I'm calling from San Diego, where we are recovering from this a little bit of a natural disaster here.
you're talking about the recall?
Among other things, but we had these horrible fires recently.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's just amazing because the finger-pointing in the this is a heavily Republican area, and the finger-pointing and trying to blame Governor Davis and so on are just running rampant here so far.
You know, Elise, I saw an article in the paper today that said that the fires are going to provide Arnold with the excuse to raise taxes and say that he didn't go back on his pledge. You think that's going to happen?
Yes, I think it's going to have to. And I think even the most recalcitrant, hard-right, anti-tax, can I say kook, because I think that applies in many cases, even those people have to see, you know, to some degree that they need to do this. And their firefighting response just was completely underfunded and undermanned, and there was no aerial support, really, and there were other issues too, the bureaucratic complications and so on that they will have to resolve. But I don't think there's any question that reluctance to pay for needed government services was behind a lot of this, and I hope that the hard right crowd that runs San Diego can acknowledge that and realize that. But I actually called Tom about the purported is it the GDP figures that make Bush look so good all of a sudden?
Yeah, 7.2% increase in
yield. Yeah, okay, I understand what you said, that this is actually an expected consequence, but I also want to just raise another issue, and I may be completely off base, maybe from being paranoid from living in San Diego, but considering the lengths to which his backers will go to keep him in office and the brute politicization of so many aspects of the government under this administration, I have to admit my first reaction when I heard this was, is it possible that the office that either issues the figures, you know, or the way the data was collected has been changed or politicized somehow to pump it up and make this good news to make Bush look better? Is that a possibility?
Yeah, that sort of thing has happened. In fact, there was a change in the way unemployment figures were calculated during the previous Bush administration, where they said anybody who's unemployed more than 6 months, we're not going to count anymore, and
right.
They're still doing that. But frankly, no, I don't think so. I think these are real numbers.
Okay.
That certainly has happened.
Well,
and I'll give you some more details.
More jobs.
Yeah, and I'll give you some more details about that right after the break. Thanks for the call, Elise. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Life easier for Americans during the past century, but it could be a growing source of trouble over the next. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Richard Heinberg says the world is fast approaching the day when there won't be any more oil in the ground, but he says that's a taboo subject for our elected leaders.
No politician wants to be identified with the message that we have to conserve and cut back and change our lifestyle. In fact, Vice President Cheney even said it right up front. He said, the American way of life is non-negotiable. If that's true, then what are we going to do to maintain the American way of life?
Heinberg is the author of a new book called The Party's Over. He says the United States already imports 60% of the oil it uses, and that number is steadily climbing as our energy needs rise and our own oil production continues to fall.
Eventually, that puts us in competition, and probably military competition, with most of the other major consuming countries, including not only Europe, but also China. And it's hard to see any kind of end to that process that's something we would want for our children or grandchildren.
Heinberg says we need to invest hundreds of billions of dollars in alternative energy research and development, but he says there's nothing to compare to the concentrated power found in oil deposits, not solar, not wind, not hydrogen.
We've become accustomed to having this incredibly cheap, abundant, reliable energy. That's what we're not going to have around. If we plan properly and make the investments, we will have energy sources, but we're going to have to use them in a much more parsimonious and careful and conservative way.
Heinberg says being conservative with energy would be a good thing, but he says it's going to mean some major changes in the American way of life. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The
best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us, the Tom Hartman Program, the pill that will help you escape the matrix as democracy fallen victim to the George Bush, Tom DeLay, Texas chainsaw massacre. I think so, indeed. Elise raised this question of these figures. And as I said, I think they're real. I don't think, number one, that they're sustainable. In fact, over a long period of time, you wouldn't want them to be because it would hype the economy too hard. Greenspan will come in and raise interest rates. But we have interest rates now at such a low level that this had to come about. Plus, we're at the bottom of the business cycle, which means that, you know, there's going to be a bounce. There's an opportunity. Plus, Bush has been spending like a drunken sailor out there. And so let me share a couple of pieces here from today's Wall Street Journal about this that I think are relevant and telling. And then we've got a couple of callers we'll get to and carry on with the show. The burst of growth shakes up two worlds, economic and political. And this is the key to it is how the economics of this are going to be spun politically. Because I am of the opinion that there is a real good chance. In fact, I would say a probability that although George Bush will not have recovered the 3 million jobs that have been lost on his watch by November of 2004, he will have improved economic activity in the United States to the point that Americans believe that things are getting better. And he's going to take that away from the Democrats as an issue. And the Democrats, instead of saying that the issue is, oh, the economy's bad, the stock market's in the tank, the Democrats really, what they should be talking about, is the loss of the middle class. They should be talking about, you know, we need to have a minimum wage law in the United States that is actually a livable wage. As Teddy Roosevelt defined, a livable wage is one that allows you to raise children and raise a family, provide for child care, provide for all of your medical needs, provide for your own retirement, and put your kids through college. That is a living wage in the United States. And that should be the focus. And that and health care, in my opinion, should be the focus of the Democrats if they want to win. There should be a clear vision. And, you know, we'll see if it happens. We'll see if it happens. But just standing around going, the economy isn't any good, that's not going to do it. But anyhow, the Wall Street Journal, the spurt of growth gave a fast boost to the political fortunes of President George Bush. The Democrats were quick to note that the expansion has yet to translate into steady job growth. I'm just skipping around here in this article by Jacob Schlesinger and John Hilsenrath in today's Wall Street Journal, front page of the Wall Street Journal. That would take some sting out of the most potent attacks. You know, he said we could see well over 4% over the course of the next year. That would take some of the sting out of the most potent attacks Democrats have been honing for the 2004 campaign, that Mr. Bush, like his father, is presiding over a weak economy and doesn't deserve another term. By early afternoon, Mr. Bush's economy or campaign aimed to take advantage, emailing a giddy report. This is the one I told you. I got these two emails from Ed Gillespie, the former Enron lobbyist and now chairman of the Republican National Committee. Breaking news, largest economic growth in 19 years. And in that one area, yes, it is, Ed Gillespie. The article in the Wall Street Journal continues, skipping around here. The unemployment rate, however, remains near a 9-year high. And even during the third quarter boom, the economy shed, that is as in lost, 41,000 jobs. Since Mr. Bush took office, businesses have slashed a whopping 2.7 million jobs, a record the Democrats never tire pointing out is the worst for any president since Herbert Hoover presided over the Great Depression. The article goes on to say, economists say much of the third quarter's increase came from the peak of the mortgage refinance boom. Now, get this. I was looking through all the news sources I could find this morning and through the Wall Street Journal and other newspapers for, okay, if there's this boom in GDP, all this spending that went on in the last quarter, where did that money come from? Part of it is defense spending. Part of it is government spending. A good chunk of it, though, it turns out, and I was surprised to see the proportion. I knew that it would be a piece of it, but I was surprised to see that the most economists think that this is the major part of it. Was that the middle class are refinancing their homes and going deeper in debt to have money to spend, to maintain their lifestyle, to put their kids through college, to do whatever they're going to do, because they had this sense that mortgage interest rates are going to start going up. So let's get the equity out of the house now. So what that means is, we as individuals, we Americans, not only is George Bush throwing us into debt on our behalf, you know, racking up trillions of dollars of debt, but we individually are also going into debt. And we're spending that debt money and the spending of that debt money is jacking up the economy. They go on to say, they say that the implementation of the tax cuts, are, in addition to the mortgage refinancing boom, are factors that won't be repeated in coming quarters. Consumer spending has already begun to show signs of slowing after surging over the summer. In other words, this might just be a blip. They go on to say, at the Federal Reserve, whose aggressive interest rate cutting over the past couple of years has been a major factor behind the current rebound. You know, in other words, there's this the fact that low interest rates, and that's what's been driving this home refinancing. And then they say, but the third quarter boom came even as business continued to lay off workers. And this is the key. I mean, you know, this is the problem of globalization, of what is the so-called free trade. It's not fair trade. Is that workers have become a commodity, and human beings should not be a commodity. I mean, it's okay to search the world for the cheapest bauxite. It is not okay to search the world for the cheapest labor. It's just simply not. We have an obligation to our own communities. Businesses do. It's just wrong. Anyhow, I'm going on long enough. I got three callers here on hold. I thank you for waiting. Rich in Virginia has called 1-800-TALK. Yes, Rich, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
How you doing?
I'm great, Rich, but I'll get better. How about you?
Not doing too bad. Yesterday you indicated, I think it was to Jim, not sure of the name, another
Kalamazoo Jim that I, yeah.
Listener, that, so you know the question.
Yeah, that I was going to call, I'm spacing his name right now, but one of the vice presidents at Sirius, who I've talked with a couple of times. And no, I didn't do it. In fact, I had lost my phone log, and I found it about an hour before we went on the air today in a pile of books, but I was searching frantically around here all over this morning for it. So, no, I haven't made that phone call yet. Why? Did they preempt our programming again last night?
Yeah, they killed Peter B. and also got an hour and a half or so of Mike Malloy.
And, with sports? With sports?
Yeah, with last night it was NHL. So it's pretty much a conscious decision on their part. They have decided.
I'll call him as soon as I get off the air.
Yeah, I know contractually they have the right to preempt, but ethically and professionally they did not notify IE or Icicle that
yeah.
they were
and
going
Louise,
to do that.
Louise just came in and told me that she's just called Ron Metzger, who's the director of affiliate relations at IE America Radio Network, this network, and asked him to look into it as well. But I'm going to call this guy, too, as soon as I can find my notes.
You know, there are other channels that if they've overcommitted, I know they're bandwidth restricted. They're using the heck out of the transponder, and they have no more time slots. I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, I think it's bad to mess with Sirius Left.
Yeah.
It's a very strong and vocal listener base. And it does something to Sirius credibility, and I mean in both spellings.
Yeah. So, well, I hope, Rich, that you'll give them a call, and in a very friendly way.
Oh, yeah, I have talked to them, and I also called the program manager.
Great. Okay, good. Okay, Rich, thank you for the call, and I, as I said, I will follow up on that this afternoon. I'll let you know on Monday what happened. Vin in Santa Fe is on the line. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. Vin, thank you for calling the Tom Hartman radio program. You are on the air.
Thank you, Tom. I had the pleasure of speaking with you on Marianne's show yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And I actually wanted to connect two of the topics that you're dealing with, and the context here is looking at things in isolation rather than in a nexus of interconnectivity in which they actually exist. Your current topic on this economic quote-unquote boom that we're experiencing, taking that out of context and ignoring job loss, of course, is related to what you were talking about last hour on mice. And I think people don't appreciate how wonderful mice are. We wouldn't know anything about the human immune system if it hadn't been for mice.
Yeah, well, we might not even be around if it wasn't for mice. I mean,
they're
a major chunk of the ecosystem of the niche of natural ecology.
Yeah, and that's the one context, of course, in the ecological context. But I don't think people understand that what these fools are doing is they're taking things like IL-4, interleukin-4, which is one of the message molecules of the immune system, and pulling that out of context of the nexus of messages that the immune system actually sends. There's about 15 right. interleukins, and they're still only scratching the surface of the messages. You can tell I'm a biologist.
Yeah.
And when these
yeah.
people do this, it's a reflection of the way we practice medicine in this society, in this reductionistic, isolationist fashion. And
yep.
it's a problem that extends to us trying to get people to understand what's going on politically and economically, because everybody
yeah.
wants to take things simplistically because they're encouraged to do so by, you know, what, Fox News and all the rest of them.
Well, you can also blame Aristotle and René Descartes and Sir Francis Bacon, I mean, the great reductionists.
Absolutely.
You can go all the way back there. Yeah,
And thank God for people like Einstein, it was so far away from reductionism that it's ridiculous. And I think most people don't understand what a globalist he was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I thank you for bringing up the topic of the mice, because it's really important that people understand that what folks like this are doing are totally isolating pieces of both physiology and ecology in a completely artificial way. And it's the same thing that we're doing with trying to assess what we're being told by Bushites.
Right. In a way that could be catastrophic.
Catastrophic is right.
There's a new edition of Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight coming out in, I think, January or February. Random House is bringing it out. I just got the galleys. And I've updated the book. I've brought all the statistics up to date. And I've also added a chapter about this very issue, about the way that we are messing with our biology and the potential consequences of it. And there's another book, actually my favorite on this. Let me just grab it here. It's Eureka. It's called The Lost Language of Plants by Stephen Harold Buhner. Buhner.
I think it's pronounced Buhner. Yeah, I have not Buhner. Gotten a chance to read the book, but I know of it.
The Lost Language of Plants. It's not the easiest book to read because Stephen, his writing style is sometimes a little dense, but it is one of the most profound books in this realm that I have read in my life. And I encourage people who like you and I, find this kind of stuff fascinating and concerning. And also want to know what you can do about it, to read The Lost Language of Plants by Stephen Harold Buhner, did you say, or Buhner?
I think it's Buhner. I thank you for reminding me of it, because I've often meant to get into it, and I think I'll have to pick it up.
Oh, it's an incredible book. I blurbed it on the front cover. It says both poetry and medicine, absolutely brilliant. Tom Hartman, you know, it really is. It's one of the best books written in the last decade. Vin, thanks for the call.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate it.
Rob with Op-Ed News. Rob, you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, aren't you, Rob, these days?
Yeah.
Hey,
Tom,
Rob,
how you
welcome.
Feeling?
I am great, but I'll get better. How are you?
Great. Really good.
What's up?
I wanted to talk to you about this these rosy news forecasts about the economy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had a conversation with this just a couple weeks ago, and I said to you, I expect them to come out with incredible reports on the economy because they're running the organizations that generate the reports. You know, just like I didn't believe them about weapons of mass destruction, and nobody should anymore, why should we believe them about the economy? Why should we believe their numbers? Why shouldn't we think
because they've dumped hundreds of billions of dollars into the economy, Rob, and because interest rates are at an all-time low, they've borrowed $1 trillion from your children and mine and given it to us and to our wealthy peers right now and said, "Here, go out and spend it." Should it be any surprise that we see some uptick in the economy as a result of that?
Well, but I don't know that it's true. I don't trust them. I don't believe it.
Yeah. What are your list? Well, you know, you run opednews.com, one of the better, progressive news sites, I guess. What are your readers saying about this?
What do the readers say? I just put it up yesterday. I haven't heard anything from anybody.
Oh, you wrote an op-ed saying that you think the stats are lies?
Not even an op-ed, just a comment on a title on an article on it. But that's what I think. I think, why should we believe them on economic stats that will sell them the presidency when they lied on selling a war.
Well, you know, there are some economic stats that you can't fudge. For example, the stock market, and it's steadily going up. And I think it's going up for the very simple reason that if you invest in stocks that pay dividends, you only have to pay 15% tax now under the new tax break. So those people who earn their living by sitting on their butts getting dividend checks are going to start putting their money back into the stock market, and that's going to drive up demand, which is going to raise prices, which is going to make it look like they're improving the economy. Rob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5. 5937, and Jim in Nashville's on the line. Jim is gone. Oh, I'm sorry. And Rob, I would have kept you a little longer if I didn't think I had a minute and a half here to go and Jim on there. Let me just wrap this thing up with this growth spurt shakes up politics. Candidate John Edwards John Edwards put out a pre-buttle, right? I mean, you know, like the word on the street was that there's going to be good economic news coming out, and George Bush is going to wave the flag, and Ed Gillespie, former Enron lobbyist and now RNC chairman, is going to be, you know, on all the talk shows talking about it, and Fox News, it's going to be their memo, their talking point for the day. And so John Edwards, the candidate for the United States presidency, the senator from North Carolina, issued a pre-buttle. A rebuttal in advance on the news, even before it came out, saying that, quote, 3.8 million Americans have lost health insurance since Mr. Bush took office, while, the quote, the cost of health insurance for the average family has risen by almost 50%, end quote. This I'm reading again from this Wall Street Journal article, front page article today. He also noted rising household debt and bankruptcies and a 14% increase in college tuition this year. So, yeah, you've got this bump in GDP. But does it mean that life is better for the middle class? No. No, not apparently. It means that life is better for the wealthy and for the multinational corporations. And is that going to cut it in 2004? Time will tell. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
This is Dave.
Hey there.
Dave has a problem.
Maybe you have the problem understanding that we can be under attack at any time.
Dave suffers from TMRWM, otherwise known as too much or right wing amidiitis, or something like that.
The alarm's at orange now. What does that mean? Where's my charge?
But Dave's not alone.
Another Saddam tape. He's still alive.
There are millions of Americans all over the United States suffering from TMRWM.
Oh, there's weapons of mass destruction there. Somewhere. They'll find them.
Symptoms of TMRWM include insomnia, irritability, suspecting more than three people a day of being a terrorist.
That guy right there looks like one. So does this kid. You're not fooling me, buddy.
And much, much more. But there is a cure.
There is?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio weekdays on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. Get more information at ieamericaradio.com. Let's save our country one American at a time.
Thank you, IE America.
Let go of me, Dave.
Sorry.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Program, where our talking points come from Jefferson and Madison instead of right-wing think tanks and the RNC. Our program today produced by Joe McPherson in Atlanta, Georgia. And again, that great clip in our first hour, Joe put together all on his own, marvelous, and John Lucas put together the second clip we had in the first hour of the program. And the program also produced by Louise Hartman here in Vermont, and engineered today by Steph Stryker and Steve Damschroeder in Detroit. Good old Detroit, Michigan, a town that I once lived in. A marvelous place. The Phantom Case, the last of the Halloween stories for the day. Today is Halloween. Happy Halloween. Shabbat Shalom. TGIF. You know, whatever it is for you. The last of the Halloween. Here's the Phantom Case that doesn't exist. Did you know that there is a case that has been through two different federal courts that have conducted hearings and issued rulings, and that is on its way to the Supreme Court that nobody knows about? It's like a secret. This is the first test of Ashcroft's Patriot Act insanity. No documents are available to the public. No files are available. None of the lawyers involved are allowed to speak about it. The case is called MKB versus Warden. MKB's name was leaked through a docketing error. And it turns out that what the case is about is MKB is supposedly a waiter in South Florida who was detained by immigration and questioned by the FBI, has been free on bail since March of 2002, and obviously not connected with terrorism, but they used the terrorism laws to terrify this guy, or this woman. From what I've read, I think it's a man. And not only are the papers pertaining to the case hidden from the public view, but any evidence that there even is a case is being hidden. And this case is really significant. I mean, this is one of the first post-9/11 cases to make its way to the Supreme Court. Federal judge and three-judge appeals courts have issued rulings, everyone ordered to remain silent. And this might be the case that blows the lid off the Ashcroftian secret hearings. So keep your ears and eyes peeled for this one. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us this entire week. It's been so nice spending the week with you. Thank you for all. Thanks to all our callers throughout the week. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Tune in Monday, same time, same place.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.